Hello, listeners, and welcome to the AfriWeta World, where we look to celebrate African history, people, and culture by telling our story. So I think I'm going to be telling my story because I have in studio with me my BFF for life, my ride or die, Miss Sophia Mudoni Kamara, who I'm handing over the reins of AfriWeta to. She's very excited.
The power.
The power. Oh my God, the power.
Gosh.
And it's just basically like a look back to series two. Oh my gosh, series two. Wow.
Yep.
Like that took a moment. It's like, wow, series two. We were chatting earlier with her actually, and Lee, who's in studio. And we're like, oh my gosh, we're entering the third year.
Yeah.
And I think I'm still kind of like pinching myself going, really? That really happened? Oh gosh, oh dear. But yeah, anyway, let me not take the mic. I'm going to hand over to you, Miss Sophia.
Dank.
Gosh, I'm just going to sit here and like, you know, answer questions nervously. There's no preparation, guys, so caveat.
I am so proud to be doing this. Such an honor, such a privilege. I know Mwet, a.k.a. director.
Yes.
And did an incredible closeout last series. And I listened to it and I was like, wow, that's the base. Ooh. Really. I think from what I've heard, mm-hmm. it's been an incredible series.
What?
I know I got to have my X minutes of fame doing two folk tales.
You did.
The most recent one was the woman and the ogre. That ogre was chaotic.
So chaotic, right?
Chaotic chap. He wouldn't even let my homegirl eat. He was just dishing everything. He was an all round thumbs down ogre.
All right. And by the way, from that, Miss Sophia has her own mafans. Just saying. So.
Oh, I have one.
Yeah.
So exciting. Anyway, let's get into it.
Okay.
So I was reading something.
Yeah.
And I'm quoting and paraphrasing.
Okay.
An article titled Reclaiming Storytelling in Africa.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Is that the theme?
Well, we don't know. We'll see where we go.
All right.
The stories told about us and our experiences have always considered the lens of those who dominated the media.
Mm-hmm.
We are a new perspective, not confined to rewriting stories, but being an African voice heard by Africans and others. What would you like to add to this?
Wow. You started with like deep, deep.
Let's go deep.
Like you went
we're going to come right out of it.
Ay, gosh. First of all, actually, that's a very powerful statement, that we are not rewriting the stories that others have told about us. It's like we are giving our own unique voice.
Yeah.
Gosh, what can you add to that? I think, first of all, yay, because the one thing that has been amazing in this podcast journey, at least, is the support of other African podcasters.
Mm.
It's a whole wonderful world. And these are African podcasters from across the continent. So we're not talking about, these are people who I don't even know what they look like.
Mm.
And we just support each other and boost each other and, you know, retweet, et cetera, et cetera. So please, people, go and listen to all African podcasters. But as well, it's just, it's so amazing to see this kind of renaissance in a way, because we're embracing, you know, our heritage. Unfortunately, we come from, I keep telling people, we come from a first generation of those who were not under colonization since pre-colonial African history. So if you think about that, that's a heck of a long time.
Yeah.
So we carry the scars of our parents who did go through colonization, as well as the scars of being imposed upon for all sorts of Western ideals, as well as a loss of who our ancestors and who our people are.
Yeah.
So the fact that it is this generation and the next who are kind of like saying, hold up, we need to go back to our roots, literally. I mean, there's so many songs about that, but... but, and that podcasting, which it's so amazing, because when you think about oral literature or oral history.
Yeah.
That's an African thing.
Yeah.
Kapsa,
yeah.
It really, really is. So the fact that we are reclaiming it through podcasting, which is oral, I think that's amazing.
So what you've said about us coming from that generation that came out of colonialism, for me, I feel like we're almost the in-between generation.
Yeah.
So we want to look back, remember, mm-hmm. but we're also like breaking through and doing things in a very different way, but also carrying what we've learned.
Yes.
Forward with us.
We're a very complex generation.
Yeah. We're a bit all over the place, but we'll get there.
We'll get there.
What I love about AfriWetu is your utter surprise when it comes to the listeners, and we have these conversations where you're shocked that 10 people listened to the podcast, to an episode. So I think that's really incredible. I'm certainly not surprised at all. So I want to just have a discussion around the growing interest in AfriWetu. Since the start, and particularly in this last series, the speaking engagements, the diverse listeners. I mean, we have listeners in Korea, I think the Ukraine, is it Lithuania?
In the Czech Republic,
you know, all these really interesting places that you'd never think you'd have a listener.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's also the way that you describe AfriWetu, depending on the audience. So, which to me means that AfriWetu is a really dynamic platform, whether you're speaking to kids, to different types of audiences that I have been part of. And just, I'm like, oh, is that what they're doing now? That's not what she said last time. So, you know, can we just talk to us a bit about the growing interest?
So, so to the listeners, this is actually a topic which we always discuss, and you're always laughing at me. He's like, why are you surprised that people listen? I was like, I'm very surprised. Yeah. It's history. And then not just history, it's pre-colonial. And then not just pre-colonial, it's African history.
Yeah.
So, and as people have said, it is a passion, and I do bore people with it. So it's so fascinating that other people have taken it up so personally, especially because when I do this, I really do it because I feel that our African brothers and sisters and descendants don't know enough. So I unapologetically want to tell our stories. Mm. And that's why it's Pan-African, as opposed to being either Kenyan or Tanzanian or Nigerian or, you know, South African. And so it always humbles me when I see people listening and when I see people following and kind of giving me sort of like heads up and high fives. And I'm like, wow, you actually listen? And then it's people going like, yeah, that was a really fascinating story. It's like, oh, okay, great. Because then in my head, I'm like, thank you, Jesus, because everybody's a nerd like me.
It's like, at their core,
they're all nerds with me. All of them. And in terms of, yes, this year has been wild, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like there's been a number of, which was never what I expected.
Yeah.
There've been a lot of, and really I give thanks to God, because there's been a lot of interest, and I've been invited to some really interesting panels to discuss in my role as, you know, the host of AfriWetu, to discuss pre-colonial African history. And better still is each of those audiences, as you said, were different. So some were children, which was wonderful. I loved doing that. And then some were like adults, but it was a very different, it was like almost in a, how do we teach African history? And this was in the UK context. And then others, it was talking about the trade aspect and how pre-colonial history impacts trade today.
Yeah.
That was with AfriLabs. And then there's some which I went and I spoke on Rotary about why we should be rooted in our story.
Yeah.
And I actually don't know how I come up with the things I come up with. I won't lie. Mm-hmm. I think when you have a passion and an interest, it then becomes almost a no-brainer.
Yeah.
And in each one of them, I did always want to give a different message, but still with the same underlying theme, which is rooted in our story.
Yeah.
And I really, and Sophia knows this because she's been there, when I'm there sort of like researching and scripting and writing and going, okay, fine, but what audience is it again? Who are they again? What is their age bracket? Who, and funnily enough, which I'm really bad at, people, I'm so bad at this, is that when I appear on those things, it is my friends, like Sophia, who always post the link to everywhere too. I always forget. Because I got caught up in talking about pre-colonial African history and its importance today.
Yeah.
And it's my friends who are sort of like bigging up going, yeah, follow her on this, follow her on this, follow her on this.
Yeah.
But I think the different platforms and the different ways in which it's experienced is also, again, the beauty of pre-colonial African history. It's not one story.
Yeah.
And it's not one way you can tell it. You can tell it in millions of different ways,
yeah.
And you can hit your audience in all sorts of ways that it will still touch them in some way, shape, or form that will pique their interest.
Mm.
So that's what I found is wonderful about history. African history is it's so full of possibilities.
Yeah. Partly answered my next question, which was, I know you do quite a bit of non-Afriwetu work to put food on the table.
I do.
But for budding podcasters, and I might also ask Lee, our producer, to comment on this. How do you balance everything, particularly carrying out the research, which is a lot, we know it's a lot, to internalizing and then recording and delivering quality content 40 times over, which we're, you know, done 40 episodes, and I mean, I think all of them have been very interesting, and also to captivate such a huge following, given the numbers that you've seen on the various platforms that AfriWetu is available on. So how do you create that balance for yourself?
What is balance? There's a word.
Yeah, it's in the dictionary.
What does that mean? What is life? What is life outside?
Yeah.
Yes, so I do. I am a consultant.
Yeah.
And I do have two, I currently have two very involving clients.
Mm.
The beauties as well, shout out to my clients, because they also understand the importance of AfriWetu to me.
Right.
So they do give me a lot of space to kind of create. So for example, I have one day which is an AfriWetu day, so my clients know not to call me on that day. So they've given me that. So guys, also when you're going to get your jobs and you're doing your hustle, please be clear of what it is you want.
Yes,
because
absolutely.
You'll be surprised. People will be accommodating. They'll be like, as long as you're going to deliver, it's fine.
Yeah.
So thankfully, it looks like I've been delivering. Fuchs. Mm. So, to be honest with you, this is so bad. But this year has been a lot less balanced than last year.
Yeah.
This year has been much longer hours, because work has become, paying work, I mean, has become a lot more intense.
Mm.
So I've been able to keep hours, AfriWetu hours, separate, but more intense.
Yeah.
So whereas before I would have, let's say, 4 hours in the evening, because that's what I usually work best in the evening. So whereas I have 4 hours, let's say, on a Monday, and usually from 6 p.m.
Mm.
till 10, then now it becomes 6 hours,
yeah,
till 12,
yeah,
because I need to first get myself out of that work mode to then settle into AfriWetu mode. So then sometimes it becomes 1 a.m., it becomes 2 a.m., then you have to wake up the next morning and go to work. So balance has been, that's been a tough one this year, I won't lie. So to all the budding podcasters, think twice.
I mean, as much as you're saying the balance has been completely off, I think you've pulled it off really well.
Thank you.
Because, like I said, it's been quality content, growing interest, increased number of listeners, and also the engagements, the speaking engagements. I mean, if nobody wanted to listen to you, you would know they don't want to listen to you.
Don't care.
But to our producer, may I ask you a quick question, please?
Why are you asking me a question?
Come over. The listeners want to hear. How do you do this? I mean, because 40 episodes in, goodness knows how many hours of the finished product. Well, there's the finished product. There's also all the mistakes. And all the cutting and the editing.
We do try to keep the mistakes in, to be fair. Well, or rather, Lee really tries to keep the mistakes in.
But I think for me, I'm just curious about, you know, your how you get it to the finished product, and particularly getting it to a point where I want to sit and listen, you know. So we've heard Mona's voice, we're hearing it now. But then after this, Lee will go and just, you know, throw his little magic dust on it. Yeah, his magic dust, his wand, his thing, and add music and sounds and drums and animals and people ululating and you can hear them dancing. Like you're just in there with them. You are transported back to AD whatever, when our ancestors were busy doing something, transporting something, etc. So how do you get it to that point, Lee, please?
No, I'm just trying to check my phone. There's a fan of Afriware too. And this is what actually inspires me.
Oh. Yeah.
When we get comments like this.
Yeah.
And I've lost it anyway.
You keep looking. But what I would say as well is that when I am in here reading, and then actually when I'm scripting, I start thinking, this is a fun one to throw at Lee. Pop! So I'll do things like, we're in the marketplace.
Yeah.
Or there's thunder and lightning.
Yeah, yeah.
Or the drums are beating. So that kind of stuff just makes, it brings me joy.
Yeah.
And then I can just see Lee going, I can see what she did there. I
the sound.
The question was mine. So allow me to answer.
Excuse me, please. Amengia.
The question was mine. So let me answer you, Sophia. Yes. He's a good friend of mine. He's also a very, I respect him because he's a sound producer.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And he told me, very calming voice.
Yeah.
This is expertly produced. Who is the host?
Before we begin, a very quick note. Please remember to visit us on our socials. Our handle is @Afriwetu across all the platforms. And here we shall post interesting facts, stories, updates, and links for further study for all you lovely people. But for now, just sit back and enjoy the journey.
So one of the things that inspires me to do a production is also, who am I working with?
So, as usual, let us start by getting our bearings right. So please, all of you regular listeners, I hope you have your maps out. For all the newbies, I always encourage you to get a map out because it helps you to visualize the region that we're in. So go on, I'll wait.
And Mona's been wonderful to work with.
Yeah.
She's taken her time to write the script.
Yeah.
And also has the DNA of you know, stretching herself, pushing the envelope.
Yeah.
This is not something I don't think she ever knew that she'd be good at, reading and,
I agree.
You know?
So we find ourselves smack bang, looking up at this huge mud building, surrounded by the sounds and smells of a thriving city that is buzzing.
For me, where I get the tone, she sets the tone.
Yeah.
As you've seen, calming voice.
Yeah.
So I when I work with it, I work with her voice.
Yeah.
See, what is it that can enhance her story? What can enhance? Because I can tell she has a vision. This is what she wants to communicate.
Yeah.
And Afriwetu is a time machine, according to me.
Yes.
Because she's transporting us back.
Yeah.
Taken with the massive wall, the sight is quite something. We walk in through these huge red doors with what looks like silver orbs as decor.
So definitely I have to look for sounds that complement or are aligned to her story.
Yeah.
And that's now where she actually has to make me also do my own research.
Yeah.
In terms of sound. And luckily, because I love music, So it's easy for me to look for music that will accompany her scripts.
Yeah.
That inspiration or how I do the work comes really from her.
Yeah.
If I had a different person, probably I would also have to move to that direction.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, it's like a continuous. I can't say that I'm the best in it.
Yes. Lies. You are right now.
But I'm the one who's answering. Please allow me to answer.
Pardon.
Yeah, it's my time. It's my time to talk, please. Mona, you have been talking 40 episodes. The moment I've just been told one question.
She still wants to talk.
She still wants to talk. 40.
Sorry.
Can you allow me to?
Yes. Go ahead.
A few minutes of your 40th episode. So, so I think for me, it's I don't know if I've answered your question. But
no, you have.
Yeah.
You certainly have, because what you said was you are inspired by the voice, by the host, whatever direction she's taking the episode in, that then you just go and look. But that requires a high level of creativity, which is not natural. It's certainly not natural to me, and I'm sure other listeners. Please do comment. Let me be like Mona now. Please do comment on any of the platforms that you will find everywhere too, on your thoughts on how it's produced, especially the ones who are actually in this space. But thank you so much, Lee. That was fantastic.
That's it. There's no more questions for me?
There might be.
Okay. Bye, guys.
That was the amazing Lee. And yeah, he whatever. I keep telling you that he and I, this AfriWet story, we are together. Together. I'm not going anywhere.
Well, yeah. Great introduction to my next question.
Ooh, okay.
Which is, when I came in today, you were starting off your recording of episode one, series three.
Yeah.
I mean, 3 years in. Well, this is the third year, which is really exciting. And for me, because I was there, from the start, guys. Anyway, it's just amazing to see how much your voice has grown. Mm. You just sound so much more bold. Is that how you say it? Bolder.
Yeah,
you sound bolder and a lot more confident. Even it's just sort of so seamless the way you. I mean, you sat and read for like 40 odd minutes, and then also just. The amount of knowledge you have in your head right now, and I'm waiting for you to get a PhD. But anyway.
I was waiting for that.
So, I mean, congratulations on two solid years to you and Lee and AfriWetu and AfriWatu on, you know, delivering consistent quality content. So what can we look forward to in terms of podcast content and non-podcast content? In year three.
When it comes to series three, it'll be a mix of one and two part episodes of Civilizations. So I'm very excited. We kick off officially in February. So you've been in the studio with us today. We've recorded three episodes. So yeah. February is done, and then March, one episode. All crisscrossing our wonderful, wonderful, wonderful continent.
Yeah.
So that's at least for the podcasts. In terms of non-podcast activities, I had hoped this year to release at least one animation as well as some merchandise, because you know, this thing also needs to be funded. But but what it was is, as I said, this year was intense. And I think now going into next year, I have a clearer picture, and I will know how to better manage the time so that I can release the animations as well as the merchandise. So the merchandise, the good news is, people, is that we finalized on the, sort of like the designs. So
excellent.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
So that will be, we hope to have something in place by mid next year and have stuff for people to buy. For the animation, what I need to do is, I'm going from writing like 30 to 40 minute scripts to having to write like 4 minute scripts.
Right.
And those are going to be all Civilizations, not the folklores, because I believe that people do folklore even better than me.
Yeah.
And it's not my core. It's not the core of AfriWet. The core of AfriWet is actually Civilizations and Legends.
Right.
So So I needed to find time to write those scripts. And you'd think that writing 5-minute scripts would be easy. Where?
I imagine not.
It's not. So that's what, you know, God willing, 2022, well, series 3 will have some animation. But yeah, and I also need to fund it. So we'll keep you posted on that for sure.
What are the future plans for AfriWetu, just generally, and where do you see AfriWetu in sort of 5-10x years? How much content, and I know there's a lot, I mean, beyond our wild imagination, but how much content do you think is there? So how many years worth of content is there by your very rough guesstimate?
Right now, for my very rough guesstimate, we are at 10 years of content right now. And
listeners, did you hear that? 10.
And that's
Lee, you're in the job for a while.
And that is excluding the last 2 years.
Wow.
Yeah, so I'm saying 10 plus. And this is just a guesstimate, and I have not even touched the surface.
Yeah.
So yeah. If you think about it, even with the 40 episodes thus far, I haven't even touched other countries. There's a lot is the simplest way to put it.
I'm kind of blown away. I'm just staring into space, amazed. I mean, anyway, moving on.
And that 10 years is, we're just talking about the podcast bit. If you talk about the offshoots,
right?
That is, it's...
Yeah, the money makers.
Forever. The money makers. It's forever. This is forever. It really is. I mean, how many times have we heard about the Roman civilization?
Right.
Right.
How many actors have come and gone?
And come and gone. Thank you. Right. So if you think about, and that's just one.
Yeah.
One measly civilization.
Yeah.
We had millions roaming. So yeah.
There's a lot. So, are you considering delivering it in other languages?
I do want to. So I did have a request to do it in French. But to be honest, je ne comprends pas français that well. So
you shall find somebody who speaks le français.
Somebody who speaks le français. No worries. But I really did want to do it in Swahili as well.
Yeah.
And the reason for that is because Kiswahili is actually a recognized language by the African Union.
Mm.
And the only African recognized language. Yes, guys, Swahili is not Arabic. It is African. please go do your research. So that is the plan, to do something in Swahili.
Any other languages in future? Or
when I try to think of our continent, I would love it if I could find those who are from those continents. From those countries to translate it into their own languages. So, for example, if somebody from, like I did the Nyamwezi, if somebody wants to come and do a Nyamwezi translation, please come, see me, we'll do it. And because Sophia here has been very kind and has helped me, she, between her and June Gashui, they've helped me copyright all my material, because, you know, creatives can be scatterbrained. So literally, I'd be happy to share my script with somebody who wants to translate it into their own language, be it from a Fon language, be it a Zulu, be it Swana, be it whatever language. I would love for that to be the case.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
Because, you know, our languages are beautiful.
They are.
Truly.
They are. And they're so diverse.
So diverse.
So it would be lovely, even if we don't understand what they're saying, it would be lovely to hear it in another language.
Right? But if you think about it, we listen to all sorts of music from the continent and we don't necessarily understand what they're saying, love the
beat.
That's
very true.
So I would like it if somebody offered to do it in their own language. I'd be like, yeah, come.
You might be getting some calls soon. Okay, great. What is your wish list for AfriWetu?
Okay, so help me out here. When you say wish lists,
it's in terms of getting it to be sustainable, part of your legacy. What happens when you're not there? How do you keep it going? to the 10 times 10 plus to years. Infinity and beyond. Right. How do we get it there?
So, I mean, AfriWetu grew by a factor of one, which is we had Mayanla Kabaki join us. She's an amazing, Hi, Mayanla.
Well done.
And I think her coming on board actually was also a reflection of how this year has been, because it can't be a one-woman show at all. And in terms of, financially, if we put it financially, then I would be looking to, avenues like the merchandise. I do want to eventually go into like comics, because I am that person. I am that person. I would love to, my friends, including Sophia here, and I know where she's heading with this question, so that's why I'm going to just answer it for her. I would like it to be a series. It would be wonderful, like a TV series, right? Today, in this day and age, the big one is, it seems to be, we won't say the name, but there's a big streaming service. But it would be lovely for that to be the case, because there's also been a lot of sort of more interest in African content and original African content.
Yeah.
But what I would love is if our own African people were backing that original African content.
Absolutely. Right? Thank you. Yes.
Right? Because I think so for me, I would love to be a platform for that. So one of the things, and this is actually a call out, one of the things that I want to do, especially for the animation, is I want animators from the particular civilizations, the modern day countries, to come and do the animation for me. Like, I would
That's
love to
amazing.
Do that.
Yeah. Yes.
Because I think it should be a showcase of all African content.
Yeah.
So I would like, for example, I've done the Dahomey. If somebody from Benin said, I'm an animator, can I do your 4-minute animation? I'll be like, yes, please. Because also it's them connecting to something that I can't connect to, because it's an easy fix for them to kind of go, this is what they would have looked like. This is what the Mino looked like. This is what the Mino would have worn. Yeah. Not just the imagined one of Black Panther. Black Panther, we love you. but like actually somebody from Benin who does that. Can you imagine the power?
That would be incredible.
So I want AfriWetu to be that. I want it to be that platform. So in order to do that, I do need money. And probably I at some point I'll have to stop working and do this full time. But the idea is to use things like the animation to bring funds, the merchandise, the writing, because there's going to be the comic books. If people just want to give me money, they're also welcome to give me money. Like, it's fine.
Grants and things.
Like, if you want to give me money, please, go ahead. The one thing which I have said is that I want to keep the podcast pure from advertising, because it really is my voice.
Right.
But all the other avenues, I'm happy. Bring cash.
No, that's just so amazing just to hear that you actually there's a plan there.
Yeah.
And there are even things that you haven't necessarily thought about.
Yeah.
But the thing that I really, really love is the fact that you're going to now start including people from across the continent, because it's not just you, Kenyan Tanzanian, telling the story.
Yes.
There'll also be other people using their creative minds.
Yeah.
And bringing our ancestors to life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. In the way that we think they lived, or just the way we derive that information from the research that you've done. Is there anything that you want to put out there that I may not have asked?
Oh. So, I think I want to say thank you. I think I'm going to start there, because, I'm going to start with thank you. So this series of AfriWetu has been made so dope, and I had so much fun with the guest narrators. And a special mention to my brother David and my sister Noni, who made their debuts. That was a true highlight to get the two people who were my first ever friends. You know, your siblings are your first ever friends, right?
Yeah, you don't have a choice.
Yes, you don't have a choice. And allegedly have suffered listening through these stories since they were children. You know, also people are very rude. And then I also want to give a thank you to, in order of appearance, of the amazing friends who just came through and proved that, again, AfriWetu is not a one-woman show. And we heard new voices this time. So we had my Cameroonian sister Lolem, my girl Miss Angie. We also saw the return of the best director, Madame Wendwa, the forever cheeky and awesome podcaster, Amani, the ever fun and talented Njora, and of course, the return of BFF Sophia Mudoni Kamere.
That's me.
And for, I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you guys from the bottom of my heart, lending your voices to this crazy dream that it just makes me very happy. And truly, truly, I stand on your shoulders. And
thank you.
Any of AfriWetu's success is actually shared with you guys, because this cannot be done by myself. It really, really can't. And then also to the amazing support, because as I said, AfriWetu grew by a factor of one. And by Mayan Lakabaki, who we mentioned again, she really hates the spotlight. So that's why I'm just doing this, because it's so much fun. And then obviously a shout out to Lika Nyotu, the bestest, not the best, the bestest. Bestest.
Yeah. All right, yeah.
There he is.
Producer in the world. And also, I don't say this enough, but he really does make me sound very good. He really does. He really does. And hours, you know, as much as I spend hours doing the research, he spends hours producing and finding just the right notes to hit. That's not an easy thing.
Yeah.
If anybody wants to be a podcast producer, please speak to Lee Kanyotu of Big City Studios. You know? And
you're making me blush.
Are we about to sign off?
Yeah, we're just about done.
Okay. So I just wanted to make sure. So the one thing I wanted to get out there is the thank you. And the other thing I wanted to get out there is like, and this is going to sound so corny, but my gosh, it's true. Imagine follow your dreams. Like seriously. I mean, I can't believe I'm doing this for a living. Also, it pays no money. But I can't believe I'm doing this for a living, because literally I will spend hours and this is my happy place. AfriWetu is actually my happy place.
Yeah.
So people, please go and find your happy places. Go. And it's never too late. Honestly, go and find your happy places, because it's yeah.
Anyway, amen to that.
Mm-hmm.
So as I close out, yes. I want to say that I discovered a new word in the closeout session of series one.
Right.
I'd never heard it in my life.
Okay.
But I know it in terms of in other languages. And I think this might be in French. It might be in an African language. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Griot.
A griot. Yes.
Or if you're funny, you can't pronounce things as griot. But it's griot. G-R-I-O-T.
Yes.
For those who missed that episode and the definition,
mm-hmm.
griot is an African tribal storyteller and musician. This is according to Merriam-Webster's dictionary. Okay. The griot's role was to preserve the genealogies and oral traditions of the tribe.
They're just so awesome, those guys. Right? Like, honestly.
They were usually among the oldest men in a tribe, in places where written language is the privilege of the few. The place of the griot was a cultural guardian, and it is still maintained. In Senegal, for instance, the griot, without resorting to fantasy, recites poems or tells stories of warriors, drawing on his own sources of inspiration. Now to you, Madam Mona.
Yes.
Creator and host of AfriWetu.
Yes.
Captivating our minds and taking us on this incredible journey to discover what our ancestors used to get up to back in the day.
Right.
And helping us rediscover our roots and take pride in our African selves. You are truly our modern day griot.
Oh, thank you.
A woman. Learning on our behalf and teaching us and using technology to record our oral history. And to the AfriWetu Nation, thank you so much for always listening in, asking your questions, tweeting, retweeting, and re-whatevering and hashing everything. And just, you know, just the way you engage on AfriWetu's platform. It is truly appreciated, not taken for granted. You can be doing so many other things, but you actually take the time to sit through however many minutes to listen to what Mona has created, Mona and Lee have created, and what we have supported and what you're supporting to move forward for hopefully generations to come.
Amen to that.
So to all of you, we say, dear listeners, Mbarikiwe.
Woo!
Thank you. Thank you.